This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Hollywood has come to a standstill this summer as actors join their writer colleagues on the picket line. The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or SAG-AFTRA, announced that it would be on strike starting July 14th over negotiations breaking down with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, that's AMPTP, which represents most of the major studios in the film and television industry. That same body failed to negotiate in good faith with the Writers Guild of America, or WGA, which has been on strike since May 2nd. Together, writers and actors represent the majority of creative talent in the most influential film industry in the world. Among the issues at stake are streaming residuals, or royalties, and the use of artificial intelligence. My guest is Piper French, a Los Angeles-based independent writer and journalist. She's written for the New York Review of Books, the website The New Republic, The Nation, The Drift, Bolts, Lux, and the Los Angeles Review of Books. She recently wrote about the head of SAG-AFTRA in a story for The Nation entitled How Fran Drescher Went from TV Nanny to Union Boss. Welcome to the program, Piper.
Hi, Sonali. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So it wasn't terribly surprising that SAG-AFTRA would go on strike. And just to frame it for our audience, there are three major unions, not two, representing Hollywood. There's the Writers Guild, there's the Directors Guild of America, DGA, and then SAG-AFTRA. So the writers, directors, and the actors. WGA has been stuck in a strike for nearly 3 months now, but the Directors Guild actually settled and signed a new contract with AMPTP, SAG-AFTRA is now also on strike. Why do you think it's the writers and the actors? They seem to be fighting over a couple of similar issues, which is residuals and AI. They both are seemingly central issues for actors and writers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The first question you might be asking is, why do people like Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie need to strike in the first place? You know, these are incredibly famous, wealthy individuals. The reality is that A-list actors represent only a tiny fraction of SAG-AFTRA's membership. So the union is 160,000 people strong. And to put it in context, you know, about 86% of those people do not even make enough from acting per year to qualify for the union's health insurance plan. So these are really working actors we're talking about. And yeah, there's a lot of overlap in concerns between the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. As you mentioned, you know, residuals and AI are both things that people are really focused on right now. You know, the industry has just changed so much in recent years. It's sort of impossible to overstate how much the rise of streaming has affected viewership. So people just aren't going to theaters in the way that they once were. People are watching, you know, Netflix at home, sitting on their couch. And that has also had a big impact on compensation for writers and actors, because streaming just doesn't provide as much residual checks. So the checks that you get when something you worked on airs on television again. Streaming provides a lot fewer residuals. They also hold their viewership numbers very close to the chest. So right, these writers and actors don't even know how popular their shows are. And so for all of those reasons, it makes sense for them both to be on strike right now. And it's actually been about, I think, 63 years since both unions were on strike at the same time. Ronald Reagan was president, not of the country, but of the Screen Actors Guild the last time this happened. So yeah, it's been a long time, but it's an exciting moment.
The issue of residuals is such an important one. And, you know, unless you're in the industry, it's not something you've really heard of. One actor that I follow on social media, Kendrick Sampson, he's, you know, an activist as well as an actor. He's often seen at Black Lives Matter protests. And he pointed out that recently he received 56 residuals checks. And he was really hoping that, you know, this was going to help him make ends meet. After he opened 50 checks, he stopped and counted how much the totals were and was $86. $86 from 50 residual checks. That means all of the shows and the movies that he's been in, every time they re-air, he gets a tiny bit of money. And it used to be, right, that writers and actors between jobs, because essentially everybody's freelance in the industry, between jobs would be able to make a decent living from these residual checks if their show re-aired on some of the traditional media. But now when it's on Netflix, they're not getting anything. And then sometimes to avoid paying residuals, the studios are just disappearing shows off the platforms too, right? So it's kind of shocking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that's really concerning to folks, that they could work so hard on a creative endeavor. And then, you know, these companies, in order to get out of paying actors and writers sort of what they're owed, can just disappear it. Like you said, take it off the platform entirely. No one ever gets to see it again. And that's bad for viewers too, honestly.
I want to quote from a recent article in Deadline that came out just before the actors went on strike. You might have seen this. It's been getting a lot of traction because it's just so shocking. There were a number of anonymous studio executives that spoke with Deadline about the writers' strike. And what they basically said was that, quote, the end game, this is a direct quote from an unnamed studio executive, the direct quote is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their houses. One insider called it a, quote, cruel but necessary evil. Piper, how is this? Are the members of these unions pretty clear on the fact that their bosses want to break the union, want to starve them out?
Right. This story made waves because the quotes are so shocking. But, you know, it's a little hard to know the extent to which this actually reflects the beliefs of the folks who are at the negotiating table. But, you know, from people I've spoken to who are on the negotiating committee for SAG-AFTRA, the studios really won't budge. And they get the feeling that the MPTP simply doesn't care about increasing compensation for working actors. You know, their focus is really how much money can their CEOs get in bonuses at the end of the year. I think, you know, the fact that SAG-AFTRA has entered into the strike is a lifeline for the WGA. Folks there are really relieved. They've been on strike for almost 80 days already, and people are struggling. You know, they are not working. They, you know, a lot of people don't have savings or might be living paycheck to paycheck, and this is tough. And, you know, now SAG-AFTRA, you know, the strike only just started, but they're facing the reality of months, potentially months of striking. No one really knows when these negotiations will continue. But it's also important to note that, you know, this will have an impact on the studios as well. They have stockpiled content as much as they can. Netflix in particular has a big backlog of content they're going to be rolling out. But at some point they're going to run out of content. And that means that we're all going to have to brace ourselves for, you know, a future with only reality TV on television, which is obviously something that nobody wants.
Right. Unscripted television is much cheaper. The actors, quote unquote actors, are not unionized. And that is precisely why the studios love them. So it's a matter of, it's sort of like a game of chicken. Who's going to budge first? If the actors and the writers are working paycheck to paycheck, if their resources are already stretched, the reason why they're fighting, right? And if the studios have piles of cash that they're sitting on, enough money to overcompensate their CEOs, enough money to buy each other out, because they're spending a lot of money consolidating and buying other studios, it seems as though the studios have the upper hand. If it's down to who can withstand a financial storm longest, the studios are most likely going to do it. Then it seems to me that the real fight is going to be fought in the field of public opinion. Would you agree?
I mean, I think that actors have an advantage here, which is that some of them are public figures and they're often well-liked. And they're talented at communicating. So someone like Fran Drescher, for example, is a beloved figure from network television. Having her get up there and give a really rousing speech where she's calling out the greed of these corporations, you know, that's gonna go viral. Her speech, you probably saw her speech, you know, she almost sounds like Bernie Sanders or something. They're actually meeting today, I believe. So things like that will go a long way in sort of spreading the message of this cause, I think.
So I'm so glad you brought that up, because you have written about Fran Drescher a couple of months ago, several months ago, that you, when Fran Drescher took over the leadership of SAG-AFTRA, she is somebody who was, you call her once network TV's working class darling on screen, and now she's a real life union leader. Tell me a little bit about why Fran Drescher's leadership matters. SAG-AFTRA doesn't just include actors, it includes, you know, people like me, broadcasters. But the fact that she is an actor and a well-known actor is the leader of SAG-AFTRA, I imagine has an impact in terms of the story that's being told. How important is her leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's the public face of the union at a moment when there's intense focus on what's happening. And so I think it is important. Fran Drescher became president of SAG-AFTRA in September of 2021. And she became president at a really fraught moment for the union. So SAG-AFTRA is actually only 11 years old. The two unions, which represented film and television workers respectively, merged in 2012. And there's a lot of disagreement sort of before and after that merger on whether it should even happen. And that's led to sort of two different political parties within the union that really butt heads on how to make decisions and how, you know, what to fight for. And there's a lot of bad blood. And so, you know, when Fran Drescher became president, there was real doubt within the union about whether she could manage to sort of unify these two really distinct political factions. But honestly, from what I've heard anyway, and of course, you know, this is a massive union, so there are definitely people who are dissatisfied with her leadership. But for the most part, I've heard people be really pleasantly surprised with how she's managed to sort of forge some of these divide or bridge some of these divides. She is not seen as a really partisan person. I think she's, you know, she's really passionate about her beliefs, and but she's not someone who's going to take a side and, you know, ice other people on the opposite side out. And, you know, from what I was hearing yesterday from a source on the negotiating committee, she and Duncan Crabtree Ireland, who's the chief negotiator, are working really well together. You know, she has that fire and that passion, and she can represent the, you know, the performer's perspective. Duncan is a lawyer, he's a skilled negotiator, and he is sort of working on the business side of things. And yeah, together, I think that, you know, ultimately, it's sort of wild to say, but I think this union is actually maybe more united than it's ever been.
And one other thing that we didn't talk about in terms of the issues that are at stake, you know, there's the residuals, there's a huge, huge issue. And then there's the existential threat of AI. This is a really central one. SAG-AFTRA released a letter that was very critical of and, you know, made it clear that this is an issue that they can't budge on. Can you distill for our audience what the fight over artificial intelligence is with Hollywood? And that's a huge issue even outside Hollywood these days, right? So what's the clash between AI and SAG-AFTRA?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all been hearing about ChatGPT over the past few months. You know, this is a really pivotal moment for the use of AI in every industry. For SAG-AFTRA specifically, I think the fear is that well, you know, they're arguing that what the AMPTP is trying to do is basically sit a performer down, scan their entire likeness, hand them half a day's wages and say, here you go. And then they can use that person's image in perpetuity without their consent and without any compensation. And that's something that could really change the entire model of the, it could render actors obsolete, essentially. And so this is something that is pretty non-negotiable for SAG-AFTRA, I believe. They are not against the use of AI, like in general, but what they want is consent and compensation. So they want to make sure that the performer is looped in about how their likeness is going to be used so that they can actually opt out if they're not comfortable with some aspect of it. And they also want to make sure that that person gets compensated anytime their likeness is used, just like they would, you know, if, for example, a TV show that they were in aired again.
And so whether the, you know, this is all part of the AMPTP wanting to cut costs, right? So you have this huge drive by this industry, by the studio executives to try to lower their costs and maximize their profits. The CEOs, which now there's a lot of sort of social media sharing of the salaries, the compensation packages of these, you know, CEOs like Disney CEO Bob Iger, who is, you know, who's been photographed lounging on his super yacht while actors and writers are out picketing. There's much being made of the fact that they are essentially driving down costs as much as they can at the expense of people in the industry while maximizing profits. But they are turning around and saying that the writers and actors don't really understand that their strike is coming at a bad time for the industry, that the pandemic really hurt the bottom lines of the industry, and that by these union members making their demands, they're being unreasonable. The timing is bad. Can you tease apart the AMPTP's line and justification?
Yeah, absolutely. That is what they're saying, that, you know, it's a tight moment for everyone, so we just need to work together. And I think that, you know, it has been a hard few years for the movies. The pandemic, you know, is such an obvious disruptor. But the response of SAG-AFTRA is that, you know, if they don't get these, the industry is constantly changing. There's new technology all the time. Streaming was just one, you know, massive shift, but there will be more shifts. AI is sort of one of those. And their feeling is if they don't, you know, sort of get the deal that they need now, then they're forfeiting any opportunity to in the future. And then also, you know, as you point out, we have these CEOs with their massive bonuses, end of year bonuses that are based on performance, and the actors are arguing, you know, we should also have a performance-based metric for residuals, which is what streaming has sort of taken away. And you know, it's just it's hard to make the argument that you know, someone like Bob Iger, whose net worth is in the hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, when he's saying that the union needs to be realistic. A lot of these people who are in the union are making, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year and having to support themselves working second or third jobs. So there's just a big disconnect there.
I mean, you would think that if anybody could easily replace, AI could easily replace any job, I imagine that a network executive's job would be better replaced by AI than an actor's job. In fact, I believe somebody already asked ChatGPT, which would be easier to do in terms of using AI as a replacement for a job. Piper, where can people find the work that you've done? Is The Nation magazine's website a good place to read your story on Fran Drescher?
Yeah, absolutely. My story was in the print issue a few months back. It's also online, and I'll be covering the strike again, you know, this week or next week for The Nation as well.
Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Piper French, Los Angeles-based independent writer and journalist. She recently wrote about the head of SAG-AFTRA in a story for The Nation entitled How Fran Drescher Went from TV Nanny to Union Boss. And we've been covering the SAG-AFTRA strike along with the writer's strike as Hollywood's hot labor summer commences. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com. By becoming a subscriber, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.